Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings and greetings, blessed souls, don't you, Goodman? And we're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. And it happens to be right now, blessed souls, the 13th day of the Hebrew month of Mar Cheshvan. Well, at first glance, the calculation might seem bitter because the first half of the word Mar Cheshvan Mar means bitter. But when we look to the Most High for blessings and inspiration, it becomes Ram. We take the Mar and M-A-R and invert it. It's R-A and Ram. We elevate the calculation, 5,771 years blazing and grazing creation, and also corresponding to October 20th, 2010. Blessed souls, in a way, although I like to start every show in a very positive way, in a very uplifting way, I want to start in a slightly sobering way, because what happened at the end of last week, I was sent two pictures, photos, via my Facebook membership, which I'm very happy to be a part of. I'm over 2,000 strong with that, connecting with over 2,000 blessed souls in creation. I received a picture, two pictures, not just one, but two pictures of the president of Iran. Now, the truth is, blessed souls, I as an Israelite am no fan of the president of Iran. I think that he's involved in mass distortion and mass delusionary schemes of grandeur for himself, and projecting this type of grandiosity, which is reminiscent of previous regimes in human history, where the real issues of his country are not being dealt with, and instead a phony type of nationalism is foisted on the masses, and therefore used as a means of dividing and confusing the people, and of course inciting the rest of the Islamic world against the nation of Israel, which really will be, is very fruitless in the scheme of all things. Hold on, please. Say we got a caller in. Hold on. Do we have a caller? Hello.
Yes. Shalom, shalom. Good evening.
Shalom. Is this Mordechai Ben Mozi?
This is Mordechai Ben Mozi from California, looking at the full
shalom.
Moon. Shalom.
Full moon. And it's not the multi dream.
Yeah.
Mordechai, this is, you know who this is, Don. And I was just talking to the, you know, vibing out with the Blessed Souls on Blog Talk Radio Family Network about how I received two photographs last week of the president of Iran, although I don't approve his conduct or his ideologies, and he's running contrary to many matters of Torah. There were two pictures posted, and I was attached to those pictures as if I approved of them. I thought it was a good idea. Where he looked like a monkey. And immediately my response was, this is some sort of incitement to try to push something past me that I should be associated with demeaning, or what I like to call demonizing another human being. And that's what we want to talk about, Blessed Souls. And I want to just read the introduction to the tonight's show that I posted for anyone who wanted to find out what we're going to talk about. So let me just read it. Blessed is our Creator. Last week via Facebook, I received two photos depicting the current Iranian president looking like a monkey. I immediately untagged myself from the picture and posted on my wall a public denouncement of such actions for two general reasons. Demonizing and portraying any person to look like something unhuman is rooted in a ploy to distract the viewer from the real issues concerning the one being portrayed as such. Number two, if that person is engaged in negative behaviors, cognitive thought projections, outright evil intent, how can he or she be brought to justice and tried for what they should be accountable for if their evil intentions were unfortunately carried out? However, what happens when judgment comes along, the perception of that person becomes distorted because the reasoning is they're subhuman. So my invitation was, Mordechai, to ask other blessed souls to tune in with their blessed ears, minds, and those call in with their mouths as you are, and let us stand up in a public manner denouncing demonizations, and we should get back to the real issues of preparing the world for universal redemption. So Mordechai, would you like to chime in on this, why it's not going to help us improve the condition of the human race, and for creation for that matter, if we go around demonizing people whose ideologies we might despise? And I'll be quite honest with you, I despise the policies and the projections and the viewpoints of the president of Iran, but I in no shape, manner, or form think that pictures of a monkey should be superimposed on his face. Would you like to comment on this, Mordechai?
Yes. You know, as a newly initiated Hasidic Jew, as me, myself, you know, I only decided that I'm going to observe Torah. I'm reading and immersing myself in the Hasidic ways, and one of the most important things of Judaism, for those that are not observant Jews, is not to talk negatively or in any evil way about anyone, even if that person is doing the most disgusting thing.
Hello? Mordechai? Mordechai? Oh, we must have lost Mordechai. Anyway, blessed souls, for whatever reason, we lost Mordechai, and hopefully he'll call back. I'd like to start off, blessed souls, by reading some teachings from the inner dimension of Torah. And one of the people I'd like to quote, his name was Rebbe Chaim Vital. Rebbe meaning he was an instructor, a teacher, who lived in the north of Israel in the 16th and 17th century. And he happened to be actually the top student, what we call Talmid Vasik, of another great visionary of Israel, there have been many, by the name of the Arizal, Arya Kodesh, the Holy Lion of Tzfat, of Yitzhak Luria. And Rav Chaim Vital actually took the teachings of his teacher, his mentor, Rav Chaim, the Arizal, Yitzhak Luria of Tzfat, and put them into writings. One of his writings are called Shari Kedusha. And by the way, before we even get into it, let's look at his name, Vital, which if you were to spell it out, it would be V-I-T-A-L, Vital. And his first name, Chaim, means life. So instructions are from someone who holds life to be vital, or his life and the exemplary conduct by which he carried out his life carried with a lot of vitality. So if Chaim Vital writes in his seminal work, one of his seminal works, based on fictions of the Arizal, called Sha'arei Kedusha, the Gates of Holiness. And he writes there, and I'm going to be, you know, plucking it out, as I like to take from various teachings of the Torah, whether it be the written oral traditions. And, you know, pull out and share these teachings with you. So he said the following, "And now, son of man, open your eyes from the blindness and see that all the good things of this world, really their vanity, the actions of this world, which are fleeting. And therefore, why should a man magnify himself upon the creations, meaning other human beings? And would it be that a person will be with an up, standing up fully erectly, okay? Still, one should realize that everyone who is looking upon as a fellow or fellowy human being, a man or a woman, everyone that one can see and glance upon with an upright stance, they too were created with a divine image." So, in the following teachings of the Chaim Vital, he talks about that all of us, you know, can see that there are people richer than us. We can see there's some people more empty than us. There are people more fortunate than us. But we must know, ultimately, it is the Most High who causes one to become impoverished. It is the Most High who causes one to become enriched. And I think Mordechai just called back. Let's see what's going on here. Mordechai, is that you?
Yosef. This is Yosef.
Oh, Yosef. Yosef. Joseph Israel, reggae recording artist. Friend.
Yes, Don. Shalom.
Shalom. Joseph, I don't know if you heard any at the beginning of the show.
I just tuned in.
This show, okay, so you're tuned in, you know what's going on. And I was just mentioning here from Rav Chaim Vital, who lived in the 16th and 17th century, that he mentions people should open up their eyes from blindness and see that, you know, even if they stand up upright. Oh, we got another caller. Hold on, hold on. Yes, caller.
Hey, it's me again. I've lost you.
Okay, Mordechai, we have Joseph Israel. Joseph, we got Mordechai
awesome.
On.
All right.
So
yes, hello, Mordechai.
What's happening,
so
my
we got
brother?
The Crown Heights, Kesser Crown Heights connection, and we got the California IA connection. So with that being said, gentlemen, as I was, when I temporarily lost you, Mordechai, and Joseph just called in, that Rav Chaim Vital writes in his book called Sha'ari Kedusha, The Gates of Holiness, that who is a man that he should exalt himself upon another human being? Because if he looks at everyone with an upright stance, he'll see that everyone has a divine image just like him. So, gentlemen, I'd like you to chime in. Mordechai, since we lost you first online, you go, and then Joseph, you'd like to chime in. You know, why are people looking at other people in such a way they would demonize them, and why is it important for every person to know and spread this knowledge that all of us have a divine image? And then, Joseph, you could respond after Mordechai.
Yes.
Mordechai.
Yeah, I'm here.
So can you
respond? Oh, is it me?
What?
Yeah, me? Yeah, oh, you want me to?
Because you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you were speak. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, I got you. So I don't know where I've got cut down, but you know, this person that we're talking about, especially, you know, Ahmad Dijana had, I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
Okay.
He's a human being, and he should be judged according to his deeds, and he should not be put down and belittled by these images, because he's what he is doing is a serious thing. He is feeding on anti-Semitism. His power is feeding on anti-Semitism, which had been implemented by Adolf Hitler during the Second World War. We all know that. And radical Islam is a perfect ground for this seed to sprout. So the divine image of this human being that we're talking about will be judged in an eternal way by the Creator itself. But also, he can be in our own reality, in this, let's say, three-dimensional reality, which is created by the Creator, can be judged. And it's not the time for making jokes about such serious matters. It is a serious matter. How many Jews do live in Iran right now? A lot of them. So, you know, it needs to be put into that light. And no human being should be put, should be put into an animal level, because we are all the creation of God, all the creation of the Creator. So this is what I can add to pretty shortly.
Okay. Joseph, would you like to chime in?
Well, the thing is I think, you know, as we learn about ourselves, you know, it's important to realize that other people are very similar to us, you know, and that's the beautiful thing, that we're all brothers and sisters. Yet some of our brothers and some of our sisters, some of us tend to go the wrong way, you could say, You know, but even that is an example of what not to do, you know. And so when one person does wrong, it doesn't ever make it right for the next person to do wrong. And that is the foundation of righteousness, you know, that we have to do right regardless of if someone else did wrong. Like we could look at the prophet Daniel, and he lived in Babylon, and the king set up an image, you know, or the king said, actually for Daniel, he said no one could pray, you know, no one could pray to anyone but him. And this was wrong, but Daniel didn't do wrong to the king or wish any ill towards the king or try to do anything wrong. He just kept doing what was right. And when he did what was right, he was cast into the lion's den, which was basically the death penalty. But yet, still, he didn't curse the king. He didn't say anything negative towards the man who was actually killing. You know, that was you could say that was anti-Semitic. That was anti-Israel, because Israel prays to the only true God. Because Daniel chose to do right and the Most High protected him,
I have a good old friend on the line. Let me just bring him in, then we can bring him into the conversation. Mikey.
Hello, Michael. John. Good night.
Shalom. Joseph Israel, we have on the line here, and also my good friend Mordechai from Kelly. We have Michael Nichols, a record producer, who just came out with a brand new album called Roots and Rights, which is sweeping up the Jamaican nation and is going to be crashing on the shores in a peaceful and plentiful manner. In America, very soon already you can get it on iTunes. And Michael,
nice.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We have Joseph Israel. Joseph, you want to greet Michael?
Yes, Michael. Greetings, man. Shalom.
Shalom. Blessing, Joseph. One.
Yes, my brother.
Two Rasta brothers are meeting on the phone line on the internet, Block Talk Radio. That's pretty awesome to hear.
This is great.
I just want to clarify. For me, this is a truly joyous moment because, Joseph, I mentioned to you, Mordechai, I didn't tell you that 27 years ago when I was at William Patterson College, a state college in New Jersey, I was a DJ at a radio station, WPSC, and there happened to be a reggae band that Michael was the rhythm guitarist, and he also involved in the recording aspects, the production, and I made friends with the band, and I got to a point where I actually took a picture of one of the group's LPs back in the old days when actually an LP was an actual record, not a CD. and then eventually they took me in as family at a certain time when I was looking for my roots. And then, you know, 20 years later, 22 years later, I met Joseph Israel. And then when Joseph did a show with, Matis Yao in New York City, and then another one in Brooklyn, then I reunited with Sile Jendaya, who was a longtime associate of Michael. And so to me, this is first circle because, Michael, we're here to talk about, you know, how no man should demonize another man. And Joseph was just talking about how, you know, a person can do wrong, but it doesn't mean that other people should do wrong, that all of us should do what's the right thing. And all the honors and blessings go to you in your efforts to bring true cultural music at a time. Jamaica definitely needs a healing, just like the rest of the world needs a healing, and Joseph is making music of healing. So, Joseph, if you can just continue with your point, and then Michael can chime in, and then maybe talk about his new recording effort, and then we can continue the conversation, gentlemen. So, Joseph, you can continue, and then Michael, if you can chime in.
Just to say, you know, Dan, you know, this is an example of the prophet Daniel. He just kept doing what was right, even when the king came up with a terrible, you know, law that made no sense and it was a truly wicked law. But Daniel was willing to even take the consequences of being cast to the lions. He never did wrong. He didn't take that as an opportunity to try to do something wrong out of desperation or anything or to slander the king. He just kept doing what was right. And actually the scripture says, speak evil of no man. So when Daniel was preserved and saved from that by the angel of the Most High, then the king had to declare who was the Most High. He had to learn the truth. So at that point, it became a great testimony. So people that are slandering other people and belittling other people, even when they're doing wrong, I mean, especially, there's so many world leaders that are doing wrong. I mean, we could get into all that. But the thing is we just have to do what's right, and this, you know, we have to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, and that is the command, that is the Torah, that's how it says it. And that says our neighbor, that doesn't mean just everyone that agrees with you, that means your neighbor.
That's right.
So we are all neighbors, and you know, when we only have, we're playing one small role, we only have our little role to play, but we all have a role to play, and when we all play the role in the righteous way, the world is going to be healed. You know, not necessarily the system of things will be healed, but the human heart will be healed, and it will create a new system of things, a world of brotherhood and unity. That's what I'm striving for with the music, with my life, and that's why I know we've all been brought together. So I'm really excited to hear this new CD that Brother Michael has put together, and you know, this is a great time to bring forth righteous works, because it really will counterbalance the the rest of it. Yeah.
Michael, before you go on, if you mind, I'd like to read this write-up on the album, and then
that will
be your cue to talk about the album, the inspirations, and how it's being received in Jamaica, which I think is the litmus test for, you know, how good the music is. If they love it in Jamaica, they'll love it around the world. So what I have in front of me is that Fisherman Music has rode the shore with a powerful, infectious roots reggae and lovers rock album of 22 songs entitled Roots and Rights. Netted with pure conscious and positive lyrics, organically dressed and steamed or roasted with melodically addictive and lyrically enchanting love songs. Roots and Rights has arrived in the new millennium to educate and lift the spirit while bringing all people together through reggae music. This compilation album, freshly released in Jamaica on a small independent label, has generated a storm on major radio stations across the island. Roots and Rights features 22 fantastic artists, including Warrior King, David King, Natty King, King Everill, Highest Slice, Rice Emmanuel, Fayakin, Pablo Irie, who I know from my old college days, True Blacks, Al Pancho, Israel, Calvin Christie, Elegance, and many others. Two songs have even recently won Big Tune Awards on Roots 91.6 FM in Kingston, Jamaica. Jamaica, What's Your Verdict is a showcase in which the listeners call in and vote for the best song. Congratulations to Calvin Christie and Ras Emanuel for their historic contributions. Roots and Rights release coincides in perfect timing with the state of emergency in Jamaica on May 23, 2010. The musically foretold lyrically the civil events of that time. Fisherman Video has currently 8 videos on YouTube, King Rasta 1494, and 4 videos playing on Jamaica TV. And I want to repeat that. Fisherman Music, this new CD that Michael Nichols has an important role to play in it, and he'll explain it in a second, has 8 videos on YouTube /King, KingRasta 1494. So, Michael, can you tell us about this album, the inspiration, and how it's being received so far?
Yes. I want to say good night and blessed love to everybody on the internet.
Amen.
And also to Don and Joseph Israel.
Yes.
Well, not met, but it seems like I know you for years, Joseph. The vibe's coming over the phone. That's it. The brotherhood of man, you know.
True.
But I want to make one correction before I go into it. We now have around 17 videos on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And we have 7 videos that is playing in the Caribbean and on Jamaican television right now. And this album, Roots and Rights, came about from the inspiration from God, you know. And when you get it, you're going to see it's dedicated or livicated, as we say, because it's life, to my nephew, Ricky Simpson, who's your good friend, Don.
Yes.
And, you know, he's got himself in a little problem there, and we hope God is with him so he may live through it. But
Amen.
I was inspired to do something after, you know, after a 25-year rest from the record business. And I got up, and Sheila gave me a rhythm, and I improvised. I added some more instrumentation and some more melody to it, like the online. I added some guitar licks and some keyboard licks, and then I had to sit down on for around 6 months and wasn't feeling anything. And I got up one morning and and felt the music playing in my head, like an orchestra. And I just put it on a tape, and I went to Sheila and said, Sheila, I have the rest of the thing to add to this song.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sit down and put it all together, and that was that. I started doing the vocalist voice and all the, getting the singers to put the voice to it, writing their own lyrics to it, in Jamaica, and my first artist was David King. Because initially we wanted all kings to be on the album, and we had around seven kings line up. But then by the time we finished, like, the third king, we had a whole host of other singers who said, well, we heard this rhythm. We want to go on this rhythm. It's beautiful. So we end up with voicing around 32 artists on it. One rhythm, Roots and Right.
Wow. Wow.
And then I just brought it down to 22. Because all 30 artists could not fit on it. It was just couldn't fit within the 80-minute period. But it's all about the love is the answer, which is the first song.
Yes.
Love Shall Lead the Way, the second song.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Gideon. The Gideon is like the final war, which
mm-hmm.
is not only a physical but a spiritual war from
That's
man.
Right.
And we need unity. We need unity. The world needs love right now. And then we add a little flavor to it with some other gun songs, which telling the guys and the criminals to put down their guns, these young kids who had lost their way, you know. And then we added some other songs, and like some love songs, which we all fall in love one time or another in our lifetime. And probably get our heart broken along the way, but that's life.
Yes, yes. Solomon said, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to, you know, to be happy, you know. It's part of the cycles of life.
Yeah. So basically, that's the inspiration is all to inspire, to bring together, so that link is a link of the human race, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All race can come together as one. It's not a fantasy. So basically,
true.
That's done in a nutshell.
Beautiful. Joseph, you'd like to comment? Because, you know, Michael, that Joseph has a song, Put Those Guns Away, which I think was in tribute to Lucky Dubé, who Joseph actually met. And maybe, Joseph, you'd like to chime in on that vibe. You know, your experience with Lucky Dubé. And why you mentioned him in your song?
Well, you know, I mean, this when I lived in Kingston, you know, before, I mean, this isn't about Lucky Dubé, but just when you live in Kingston, you really realize why people need to put the guns away, because, you know, every day, every night, more people get shot. You know, it's you know, Peter Tosh called it Kill Some City. You know, it was really a terrible situation, but it's actually my favorite city I've ever been to. It's also the most beautiful city, you know, that you could imagine. It's full of beautiful people and enough culture and great vibes and especially musical vibrations. You know, it's a great place. And I, you know, I really feel at home there. At the same time, when you hear machine guns lick off right across the street, it's scary, you know, because I kind of live in the country and I don't hear that stuff, you know. So you begin, it opened me up to, you know, it's not, I wasn't seeing it on TV anymore. I was feeling it. I was hearing it. It was down the road, you know. I mean, so this began to wake me up to that. And then a few years later, Lucky Dubé was shot. And you know, when I met him, he just was a really humble man. And you know, if you know the situation in South Africa, and he was exiled from that. He fought apartheid, and yet he, you know, he really stood up for equal rights and justice for all people. He was a really beautiful soul. And, you know, so, I mean, when he got shot, it was just, and I got this rhythm from Jamaica from a producer named Flava McGregor, and he sent it to me, and I just said, you know what, I got to put out a song about this right now, because the world is just in a terrible state, you know, and okay. You know, so that's kind of where that came from, and I love to hear that you're putting this music out, and I love enough of the artists that you voiced, they're some of my favorite artists, and you know, it's really good. This is good. We need more positive music in the earth, and I hope it all goes really well for you, and it leads to more and more rhythms. You know, you come out, get maybe you have 22 more rhythms, or however long you took off, you put out that many more.
Yeah.
I'd like to chime in, you know, Joseph, that you mentioned how, you know, Kingston is your favorite city. You know, as I learned many years ago in Patterson, you know, feel no way when I say my favorite city is Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, and Israel, because I just came from there 3 weeks ago. And
yeah,
I want to tell you, gentlemen, an experience that I had. You know, many people go to the Western Wall, which is like the last vestige, the last sign of the Second Temple. And I can tell you, unfortunately, in the last 20 years, you know, we have to be honest, Israel in the Middle East is a war zone. And when you go up to Mount Zion, as Jerusalem is called, okay, in one valley you see the city of David, where King David lived, although this is disputed by those who want to weaken the faith of others. And to the left of the city of David is the Mount of Olives, with a great resurrection we're all waiting to see, where the righteous shall rise up and the Messiah, the Mashiach, shall stand up there. But what I want to share with you, gentlemen, is this. You know, there's a lot of people carrying guns in Jerusalem, which is supposed to be the city of peace, the city of love. And I've been in three different time periods in my life in Jerusalem, in 1999 to 1991, 2007, and 3 weeks ago. So when I was there 3 weeks ago, an interesting phenomenon happened. That it happened to be during the Israelite festival of the festival of the Tabernacles, Sukkot, and there is a Temple Mount plaza where you have to go through Israeli security, which is extremely tight, extremely sophisticated. But there were so many people flowing in to the Western Wall that the normal security checks, there were minimal security checks made. But so basically, from a human natural standpoint, that the people going in would be a bit greater risk. But I tell you, as I testify between you and those, you know, in the heavenly court and above, that when so many people are going to pray there, with less security, we felt safer. And this is something that I wish all of you, Michael and Joseph and Mordechai also listening in, and anyone else, if people go to Jerusalem, and, you know, King Solomon, when he dedicated the first temple, said, this place shall be a place where any person can come and utter their prayer.
How
and the Most High should listen to it. And Isaiah said, the prophet Isaiah, who in our, the Israelite tradition, Yeshayahu HaNavi, Isaiah the Navi said, my house, and remember, a prophet is only a loudspeaker for the Most High, that he said, my house is a house of prayer. So I'm just coming to testify to you that I saw with my own eyes, not just Jewish people, I saw different people of different backgrounds going in to pray, you know. I saw Jews from Ethiopia, I saw Jews from Spain, I saw Jews from Canada, America, from Israel. You know, by us it was wonderful. And we had more protection because more people were praying than having to go through the normal route of the Israeli security.
Nice, that's great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just want to mention one more thing. When I also had the merit recently to go by the temporary resting place, because I do believe we'll resurrect very soon, of Samuel the prophet, who should be of interest to Israelites and to disciples of King Selassie, because, you know, Samuel the prophet had anointed Saul and then eventually David, and from David comes all the descendants of you know, King David, you know. And I uttered a prayer there in the merit of the mighty Levite prophet Samuel, that the spirit of prophecy shall return, and it should return, the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. And the good news is, gentlemen, I've shared this with you, Joseph, and I'll just share with you, Michael, that from the teachings of Israel, we have a tradition that music has within the element 1/60th of prophecy, and music is a preparation for people to actually go into the state where they can prophesize and get divine inspiration. So personally for me, when I listen to reggae music, I don't think about demonizing people. I hear music that is meant to humanize people. If Michael and Joseph, if you can both, because I one of my paths of coming back to my roots as an Israelite was through reggae music. So if you gentlemen could chime in on that, and about, you know, the positive effects you feel reggae music has had on the creation to uplift all nations.
Hey Don, can I chime in?
Yes, Mordechai Ben Mozi would like to chime in.
This is a story I would like to share with you guys. Joseph, you probably know where Chico is at.
Yes.
Chico, California. So, anyways, I'm living pretty close to Chico, and I used to go to this natural food store in Chico. I'm a raw foodist, and I went in there because I was pretty hungry. So, in front of the store was a Rasta guy, very, very handsome guy, you know, tall, good skin, good Rasta hair, you know, all that. And he was kind of down on his luck. So as a Yehudin, you know, I'm one of the laws to give tzedekah. So I told him, you know, instead of giving him money, I told him, you know what, come on in with me, and I'll buy whatever you take off the shelves. So he went in there, he was very happy, you know, took all the avocados, you know, sandwich, whatever, you know, raw, kind of raw. He was mainly picking up raw stuff. So I got him the food, and he rewarded me something very amazing. He started to talk to me about his philosophy on life and, you know, how he looks at the world, et cetera, et cetera. And he told me that he's writing music in his head all the time. So he started to share this with me. And the things that came out of his mouth was the most amazing, almost sounded like a prophecy from the Old Testament, you know, kind of biblical. It was more biblical, not Torah-like, but more biblical. It was beautiful to listen to. And I felt to myself that this boy had given me a bigger tzedekah than I could have ever given to him with his reggae. And it was beautiful. It was awesome. So I just wanted to chime this one in here with you guys, as much as I know how you are about reggae and love and stuff like that.
So I like to ask Michael, you've known reggae music probably 40 plus years. Back in the day, when it was, you know, before Big Bob Marley was big, you know, when maybe did anyone ever perceive that it would be so internationally respected and brought to this level where now, you know, everyone's checking out? Yet still, the paradox is, it still doesn't get the promotion it deserves. Would you like to comment on that?
Yes. You know, as a kid growing up in Jamaica, you know, we took it for granted, you know. It started off, I could remember, the banjo, where they used to have a little box, a sound box that used to fit between their legs and had these little pegs that they used to pick. And then the sound, the different tones would come out of the box, and you'd have a guy with a little guitar and another guy with a little banjo playing, and then they'd sing and dance and in the streets. We're talking about in the streets now. Now, it evolved throughout time by adding more instruments, and as they say, there were most of the radio stations was coming out of Louisiana. So whoever was fortunate enough to could afford a radio would be listening to these stations from out of Louisiana and the Deep South, which is closer to Jamaica, a couple hundred miles. And at that time, there was a lot of jazz music. But as a child growing up, when it got into the ska mode, and everybody was doing the ska, 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 ta-ta-ta-ta-ta, Jamaican ska. Ta 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 ta. Not everybody can cha cha cha. Not everybody can cha la la. But everybody can do the ska. It's the new dance you can get. It's the new dance that go like this. You know, just for example, it was like, okay, it's just a music for us on the island. But then it started to grow because calypso at the time was dominating the Caribbean, and I know was getting a lot of exposure on the international market. And believe me, I thought it would be this large of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was beyond my imagination, to be honest. And thank God, you know, it's like a message, you know. And through the Rastafarian movement, it got to go and go and go and be positive. But then as it got more internationalized, people tried to capitalize on it, and it becomes a little corrupted, and, you know, but the main message musically and lyrically, is positive for the people,
uh-huh.
by the people. Peace and love,
mm-hmm.
and unity, and justice for all humanity. That's how I look at it. I don't know if I answer your message properly.
I think, but at the same time, you know, I one of the things that attracted me to the music originally, now let me just chime in on how I originally got exposed to it, without even knowing it was reggae music, is that in 1982, there was a, you know, remember that was the Cold War, that basically the end of the, well, it was still climaxing the Cold War, and my parents had invited, without me knowing, a married couple, a Japanese Rasta, and his wife was from France, and they had walked from Minnesota to New Jersey, where I lived in Paramus, and from there they were going to walk to Manhattan to participate in what was going to be the biggest protest at that time, 1 million people at Central Park, and that the Japanese Rasta had first introduced me to Bob Marley. So I want to reflect back that those lyrics that caught me from that album, I think that was the last album before he passed on, was how, you know, we're coming in from the cold. And I think reggae has that, has that message for those who want to listen, and I'm talking about the positive, you know, the rootsy music. You know, when I mean rootsy, meaning calling back people to think about, you know, the good within inside of themselves. And also I think it's so important, too, that the aspects of reggae which encourage the Africans to love themselves, because, you know, there's no mistake what the Most High did. If we made different peoples of different backgrounds of different skin colors, it's all for His glory. So that part of reggae, even if a person's Caucasian, they should be able to listen to a song of Burning Spear as much as they could listen to, say, a music that's, you know, that's lighter in content, because it's about celebrating who you are. If you love yourself, you love who the Most High's choice in creating who you are. You know,
right.
So that's what caught me. And then, of course, you know, I connected with you and Exodus Supreme and Sila and Ricky, of course, maybe freed from the situation immediately. So the thing is, like, why, you know, it has that human heartbeat element, 60 to 80 beats a minute, you know. And I think the music is even more potent now because of the over-commercialization of music. And, you know, I mean, back in the 80s, I remember listening to Earl Chin and who was it? It was Bailey. Bailey had a show out of Newark.
Gilbert Bailey.
Right. And then Hapi Selassie and WBAI. And the music was there to capture, you know, I'm sure those people who listened to that music from 83 to 85 intensively, we still love the music because the music they played was all about, you know, a better world to come.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I like the music. I think we might have, Joseph, are you still there or Mordecai?
Yes,
still there?
That in itself is prophecy, you know? In itself is prophecy, like Mordecai said when the brother prophesied to him. And, you know, a simple song, you know, that's how it is, you know, that this, you know, be kind to strangers and good people. You never know what someone's going to say to you, but there's a lot of people with a song in their mind, in their heart. And, you know, right now it's time to sing it, because look what it did for you, Don. You know, this is a good testimony. I love it. I love to hear what you're saying.
It brought the three of us together 27 years later.
Yes.
<Yeah.
laughs>
But Joseph, could you tell Mikey, I think, and Michael, everyone else who's listening in, you know, you have a very famous mentor who started out, I guess, you know, as Michael did with, you know, Earl Chinnis Smith. Can you maybe tell... Michael probably interested in hearing the story, and others who are listening in.
Well, I mean, Earl Chinnis Smith is, you know, he got the name. He started off at the Nyabingi circles, which is where, you know, another place that reggae music came from, which was like the songs of praise of the Rastafari brothers, sisters, where they would come together and sing praises with the drum and play a heartbeat rhythm, and you know. That's kind of where reggae came from, but he just picked up the guitar as a young child and like, you know, I don't remember, 8 or 12 or something, and by the time he was 14, he was leading Soul Syndicate, a band, and began to tour the world, and he's on almost every reggae CD, almost every Burning Spear CD, almost every Bob Marley CD, almost every, you know, you could look at all of them. I was so blessed to meet him. And when I met him, he became my uncle. He was like my best friend, you know. And so he invited me to live with him. And, you know, this, you know, he was given the name by Ross Michael as a youth as Melchizedek, you know, because he was the high priest of music, you know, and he lives up to it. And if you could get a chance to watch, I was just watching it today, one of the Bob Marley videos that has the One Love Peace concert where Bob Marley is really in the spirit and he's singing out. And the lightning strikes the stage or close to the stage. It's just a flash. And Earl, you know, Brother Chinna is right behind him there playing guitar. And, you know, this man has a mighty spirit. And here's a video. If anyone is listening wants to know what Earl Chinna Smith is like, you can get this video. It's called Word, Sound, and Power. And it's from the 70s. And it's when he's a youth, you know. He's like in his early 30s or late 20s or something. But when you see him today, for me to watch the video and to see him today, he's the same man. And that's the thing, is that it's you know, if you are truthful, you're going to be who you are forever, you know. You are what you are. And Earl Chinna Smith is someone who lives and breathes music. He doesn't even play music for money. He's blessed with money, but he would rather have no money and have his guitar. He would... You know, that's how he communicates. And this, you know, like in ancient Africa, you know, there was musical tradition that you'd have to go study. Just like the scriptures, you must study from a teacher. And it's just to learn music from a great master. This really helped me so much in where I've come from to even understand what reggae music is and what I'm here to go do. You know, without learning from an elder like that, you know, I wouldn't, even though I have a lot of spirit and zeal within me, I wouldn't have known how to, you know, conduct myself in a certain way, because it is, like you said, people try to capitalize on it, but really you're dealing with, you know, word, sound, and power, you know. So what you reap is what you sow. But, you know, if you plant a tree and it's in good soil, it's going to bear its fruits in due season. So it's not a rush. We don't have to be in a rush to receive any type of success. And that's what he always taught me, was just do the right things and do it for the right reasons. And you know, I'm sure anyone can look him up. He's on Facebook and MySpace and all that stuff. He's, you know, anyone's interested in learning who he is, you know, should go check him out. But he's the real deal, you know. And there's not many of those people around in this world today, and most of them have either gotten it, you know, the music industry has destroyed a lot of good people. But for him, he was a Rasta man first, you know, a spiritual person first, and not a rock star, you know. And so that's the difference. That's why he's probably 55 now, and he's able to go run 10 miles and do 100, you know, 200 push-ups, and, you know, lives healthy. You know, before I'd even get out of bed, they'd be drinking Leaf of Life juice. It's a little green juice, kind of like wheatgrass, but it's a little different plant. And, you know, next thing, smoothie, you know, fresh juice every morning. That's the real Rasta way, you know. So he lives that life. But he gives everything for the music and to anyone who wants to know it, whether you're white, Chinese, anything. He doesn't care. If you have the heart for music, he's there for you, you know. And that's what it just taught me, how serious I have to be to carry a spiritual music. If I want to carry the message of the scriptures through this music like I do, you know, he was someone that was like a catalyst for me to help me, like, springboard out into this musical world, and also to learn how to preserve myself and to keep from being destroyed by it, the commercial parts of it, you know. And another person who was a great mentor to me was Luciano, a great singer who I toured with. And those two brothers right there really helped me out a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of great people in Jamaica, and there's something really special about it. At the same time, we have in this world today people of all nations and you know, coming up. And we shouldn't be surprised to see songs of freedom coming from all the four corners of the earth, you know.
Amen. But, Michael, I'd like to ask you, you know, unfortunately didn't call in tonight. Cillian Jandaya, who is involved in the efforts of Roots and Rights album, and I'm just looking here at the Access Streams website that Cilla has played with such artists as Whitney Houston, Ziggy Marley, Gregory Isaacs, Marsha Griffiths, Blue Magic. How long, maybe you could tell the public a little about Cilla and, you know, his involvement with Exodus Supreme, your involvement with Exodus Supreme, and, you know, just a little review of Cilla's, you know, history in the recording industry and your collaborations with him.
Yeah. Well, I was taught the guitar after say by Sila.
Uh-huh.
You know, I used to play melodica and write songs. Sila is my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I came to this country and he was playing the keyboard from a child. So he got really advanced at it. And after several years, I saw where he was at a level now where you could just go there and sing a song to him and he would find the bass line or you would just hum it to him verbally and he'd find the bass line and he'd find the rhythm section and he'd find the harmony line to it. And, you know, at that level now, I said, you know, Sila, you're ready. But then I didn't actually get to be an official member until 1980,
mm-hmm.
when I was introduced to the band by a gentleman by the name of Joe Morgan. I know Joe Morgan.
I remember Joe.
Sure.
I remember him.
And has a classical reggae song right now that's out there entitled Good to Be There. That
mm-hmm.
was taken away from it by some other artists and called their own.
I remember that.
Yeah, but Good to Be There is a classic right now. But Joe Morgan, he brought me into the band and I started to restructure the band and started to manage, produce, play guitar, promote, and that's when we met you at the college, and we did our first album there, and we took it from there until we all went our separate ways at some point in time, like destiny, you know.
Right.
But we didn't really break up, but at least we actually, at some point, people wanted to just branch out and did something for themselves. I went into the system and started to work, of course, because I had a family and, you know, the band couldn't afford to support the family based on the what was coming in wages-wise.
Right.
You know, but then I commend Sila. He's up to this point, I said, we had played with some of the greatest, and from Bob Marley, sons, not Bob.
Right.
Bob Marley, Ziggy Marley and the Wailers, Rita, Delroy Wilson, Ken Bode, Pat Kelly, Third World, you name it, who is who in the business. We have played with them. So it's like we have the experience. And as Joseph said, you know, a lot of artists out there are really living what they sing on a spiritual level, but there's still a lot of artists. They're just the messengers. They're just carrying the message of the music.
Right.
And they should be only the message. They don't live it. You know, okay, we are carrying a message to the people, and here's the message. They're living a completely different lifestyle. I'm not knocking anybody.
Right.
I'm just telling it like it is, you know. Because the messenger
right.
is different from the people who are there who receive the message and live by the message.
Right. Right.
You know, so
right.
we learn a lot of these things, and again, a lot of us are really spiritual. As Joseph said, we try to eat good, live by the principles of Rastafari, keep ourselves right, on the right track, and don't really get too mixed up in Babylon, because it's a lost soul, you know?
Right.
You know, surrounded by the jobs and the flesh and the material gains of achieving.
Gentlemen, we have about 5 minutes. I'd like to ask you both a question, because people don't realize, you know, although you've given them some hint, No, the music business, I look, is like a martial art. I mean, you have to be totally dedicated, whether on a commercial level or an artistic level. To me, it's like a martial arts thing. Where did both of you, again, we have about 5 minutes left, so you have about 2 minutes apiece. I'll start with you, Joseph. Where did you get this, that this is your calling, and you're ready to commit your, you know, your mind, heart, and soul to this endeavor while you're on this blessed earth? And then, Mikey, if you can respond afterwards.
Yeah. What, Joseph?
Joseph?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear my question?
Yeah. So it happened twice for me, you know, basically. First of all, when I was 12, the music really opened my mind, you know, reggae music and the lyrics and the message. But that happened because I had been reading the scriptures as a youth, and, you know, and when I heard the scriptural message in the music, I wanted to begin to write my own songs because I had these songs in my heart. I had these feelings, you know, and I had to get the message out. Then as I began to grow, you know, as a human, like 18, 19, I had a little band. But then when I began to really study scripture, I kind of decided I would not do the music because it was too much confusion and I didn't want to be out there lifting up myself. I wanted to learn the Most High's ways. After a few years of study, I ended up realizing that I had to combine both and take it out there because the world is in need. And if brothers like Bob Marley and Burning Spear, if they wouldn't have picked up their guitar or their music and taken it to the world, then I would have never even woke up. So then I realized that I could assist others through the music, and I could also, give scripture talks and studies and share it with people in other ways. But the music is a way to reach people, you know, of all walks of life in a fast and efficient manner, and to give people hope, because that's what it's all about. And so, you know, if it's in you, it's in you, and it just, the songs are in me. And when I play music, I feel the best, and I love to share with the people. So it was just, it's the Most High. He gave me the inspiration, and I give thanks for it. And I must keep it going because, you know, I want him. You know, I feel it in my bones. I feel it. So I'm ready. More songs, and one day I want to go to Jerusalem with you, Don, and we'll sing some songs of redemption. Amen.
Michael, we got about 2 minutes. In about a minute and a half, can you sum up what inspired you to get on this blessed mission as first as a musician and now involved in the production end of making music to inspire people?
Yes, John, I think it's come from the Most High, because I remember I went to school and I studied engineering for X amount of years. Then I studied architecture. Mm-hmm. And then I've worked in the architecture and engineering field for over 25 years. And then I had enough of that, you know. I've built enough buildings and structures and work with people and find homes for them, design homes. And then I found like there was still an emptiness. And I just got up one day and said to my boss, you know, I'm going to retire. He said, Mike, don't do it. He said, Mike, are you sure? You? I said, yes, I want to retire. I want to deal with music now. I was dealing with it back then when, you know, in the 80s. And I said, enough is enough. He said, Mike, if that's what you want to do, do it. But I don't think you should do it. So I just left it and said, no, I'll get back into the music where I was feeling this thing was within me, as Joseph said. And I had to get out, you know. So I just said, you know, I have to get this out. So I everything just evolved. It's like it's something I have no control of. And it came at me rather than me going to seek it. Everything just came from the Most High. And I just find myself doing this thing without me, with somebody guiding me to do it, basically. It's that simple.
I hear. All right, again, Michael Nichols, involved in the... You are the producer, official producer of Fisherman's Music, Roots and Rights Reggae?
I'm the official producer and head of the Roots and Rights production team. And part of the team is in Jamaica and part of it is in America here. And I'm the man in charge of it. Yes, John.
Beautiful. So I'd like to thank you. And Joseph Israel, thank you again. Gentlemen, I hope that all of us, next time we cross paths, we will be in the city of brotherly love, which the whole world should be the city of brotherly love. So we did it for the last hour over Blog Talk Radio. This is Dunzer Sue Goodman. signing off, wishing everyone one love, one destiny, one human destiny for all of us in a peaceful, in a very pleasant manner. And I thank the Most High for this moment where I could join up with someone I started 27 years ago in reggae, and now with Joseph Israel. Everyone, blessed love. Praise the Most High.
One love. Yes, amen.
Yeah, why not? And thank you very much for this exposure on the radio, Don.
No problem.
Blessed love, Joseph.
Okay, so what happened now? We're officially off, although we still might be recording, gentlemen, so I just want to thank you both. And if you can tell Sila that after, probably in an hour or so, tomorrow, they'll be able to access. I think I sent it to Jamelia and Sila's Facebook, and then you'll be able to hear it. And it's the type of thing where they can you can copy and paste it to use it part of the promotion for the record.
Okay, and this would be an audio... Or it would be in a typo. It would be in writing, or it's an audio file.
Let me just see here. Let me just. It would be. I'll be honest with you. You just go to Sila's Facebook. On you ask him. He'll go to his wall, and he can cut and paste it and send it to you.
All right. Well, you could send it to my email address also, right?
With Mikey Roster, right?
King Rasta Mikey, yeah.
Okay, So listen, Yosef, thank you very much. Mamish,
thank you.
Thank you.
And I hope to be in touch with you both tomorrow.
All right, Don. Hey, Mikey, what a joy to meet you over the phone. What a joy.
Yeah, man, we'll meet in the flesh one day.
All right.
Okay.
Don,
good night, gentlemen.
Have a good night.
You
Amen.
Too.
Amen. Amen. Shalom.
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 Bless.